Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. It is a chilly one out there this morning. If you are stepping out right now, it is about 34 degrees in Grand Rapids, but honestly, it feels closer to freezing.
Yeah, I had to scrape a little frost off the windshield. But the good news is we are looking at a nice warm-up today. We should hit the low 60s by this evening, with just a few scattered clouds.
Enjoy that clear sky while it lasts, though. The weekend forecast is bringing some classic, unpredictable Michigan spring weather. We're tracking a system moving in Saturday afternoon that will bring a chance of light rain and some pretty serious wind gusts, up to 33 miles per hour.
So definitely tie down those patio umbrellas if you have already brought them out. It is going to be a blustery Saturday.
Good advice. We've got a lot of ground to cover today. On the political front, we are looking at a major maternal health bill package that has been mysteriously stalled in Lansing for an entire year.
Plus, we are digging into the state budget. Governor Whitmer's administration is celebrating a massive debt reduction, but critics are saying the math on our public school pension liabilities tells a very different story. Let's get right into it.
We are starting today in Lansing, where frustration is really mounting over a package of maternal health bills known as the Momnibus. This is legislation specifically aimed at addressing racial disparities in maternal mortality, and it has been sitting in the state house for about a year now. And the numbers driving this push are staggering, and honestly, they should be a wake-up call for everyone in the state. Right now in Michigan, Black women die during childbirth more than 2.5 times as often as white women. That is a massive, glaring disparity that goes beyond just statistics. It represents families being torn apart. Advocates like the Mothering Justice Action Fund have been practically pleading with lawmakers to get these bills across the finish line to stop these preventable tragedies.
The deeply frustrating part for these advocates is that the Momnibus package, which includes Senate bills 29 through 34 and 36 through 39, actually passed the Michigan Senate back in April of last year. And it wasn't some narrow partisan squeaker either. It passed with bipartisan support, which usually signals that a bill has the momentum to make it all the way to the governor's desk.
Exactly. And when you look at the substance of the package, it covers a lot of practical, necessary ground. It mandates data tracking on racism in medicine, it expands insurance coverage for midwives, and it bolsters anti-discrimination protections in healthcare settings. It is a comprehensive approach to a very specific, lethal problem. It is not just a symbolic resolution, it is actionable policy. Let's talk about the specific mechanics of these bills. One of the key provisions is expanding insurance coverage for midwives and doulas. Studies consistently show that having a doula present during childbirth dramatically improves outcomes, particularly for Black women, who often report their pain or medical concerns are dismissed in traditional hospital settings. That is a critical piece of the puzzle. The legislation also demands rigorous data tracking on racism in medicine. It is one thing to acknowledge a disparity exists. It is another to legally mandate that hospitals and clinics track the demographic outcomes of their maternal care so the state can pinpoint exactly where the system is failing.
So the obvious question the public is asking is, why is it stalled? It has been sitting in the House committee process for 12 whole months. When you have legislation that clears one chamber with that kind of momentum and bipartisan backing, a year-long freeze in the other chamber usually points to procedural bottlenecks or quiet leadership resistance, rather than a sudden change of heart on the policy itself.
Right. And the advocates are pointing out that this inaction isn't just a political annoyance. It has a real human cost. Every single month these bills sit in a drawer gathering dust, the structural issues contributing to those preventable maternal deaths remain completely unaddressed. It is a stark contrast to how quickly we have seen other family-focused initiatives move lately through the legislature.
You mean like the RX Kids Cash Assistance Program? We have talked extensively on this show about how fast that rollout has been across different West Michigan counties. That program puts cash directly into the hands of expecting and new mothers, and it got greenlit and expanded incredibly fast.
Precisely. You have the state moving aggressively on the financial side of maternal support with RX Kids, but dragging its feet on the clinical and systemic healthcare side with Momnibus. The advocates for Mothering Justice are essentially saying you cannot just throw cash at the problem while ignoring the underlying medical disparities that are actually costing women their lives.
It really highlights the disjointed nature of how healthcare policy gets made. Some political analysts suggest that in a closely divided House, leadership is hesitant to bring up any bill that might spark a contentious floor debate over race and healthcare, especially in an election year.
Which is a tragic calculus if true. You have mothers who are testifying at hearings, sharing heartbreaking stories of losing daughters and sisters because a doctor didn't take their symptoms seriously. To be told to wait because the politics are tricky is just devastating. It will be interesting to see if this renewed public pressure campaign forces the House leadership to finally bring it to a vote.
Sticking with state politics, there is a fascinating and highly contentious tug of war happening right now over Michigan's checkbook. Governor Gretchen Whitmer's administration is touting a massive financial victory, claiming they have paid down more than $25.4 billion in state debt through the end of fiscal year 2026.
$25.4 billion. That is a massive number to throw on a press release. And it certainly sounds like a historic achievement for the state's financial health. But as you would expect with state finances, the reality is a lot murkier. Critics, particularly conservative-leaning outlets like the Michigan Capital Confidential, are pushing back hard. They are arguing that the state's accounting methods are essentially obscuring the full picture of our financial liabilities.
The crux of the disagreement really comes down to how you define the word debt. The administration is pointing to significant payments they have made toward long-term obligations, and they are taking credit for that reduction. But the critics are looking at the state's largest liability, which is the unfunded portion of the public school employee pension system, commonly known as EMPSRS.
EMPSRS is always the elephant in the room when we talk about Michigan's budget. It stands for the Michigan Public School Employees Retirement System. The shortfall there fluctuates based on market returns and demographic changes, but it represents a massive, looming financial obligation that the state is legally bound to fulfill. Critics argue that when you factor in those legacy pension liabilities, the overall debt burden hasn't actually shrunk the way the governor's top-line number suggests.
Right. It is the difference between paying off your active credit card balance versus ignoring the massive balloon payment coming due on your mortgage. The state is utilizing surplus funds, including a lot of one-time federal pandemic relief cash that was floating around over the last couple of years, to pay down certain active bond debts. Which, to be fair to the administration, is a responsible use of one-time money. You absolutely do not want to use temporary surplus funds to create permanent new programs that you cannot afford next year. Paying down existing bond debt is exactly what financial analysts recommend you do with a sudden windfall. True, nobody is arguing that paying off bonds is a bad thing. Let's dig a little deeper into the EMPSRS pension issue, though. This isn't a new problem. Michigan has been trying to figure out how to fully fund retired teachers' pensions for decades. The state has made reforms, like shifting new hires to 401k-style plans, but the legacy debt from older pension promises remains a multi-billion dollar weight. And the conservative critics point out that the administration recently proposed redirecting some of the money that was earmarked to pay down that pension debt towards other current education spending. They argue you cannot claim you are paying down state debt while simultaneously shortchanging the pension fund payments.
That is the center of the controversy. The administration counters that the pension fund is healthier now than it has been in years, allowing them the flexibility to invest in today's classrooms without jeopardizing retirees. But financial watchdogs warn that banking on current market returns to cover future liabilities is a risky bet.
It is a classic political battle over framing. The administration wants the headline to be about historic debt reduction and fiscal responsibility. The opposition wants the headline to be about reckless accounting and broken promises to teachers. The truth, as always, requires looking past the press releases and digging into the actuarial tables.
And this isn't just an academic accounting debate for CPAs to argue about. How the public and lawmakers perceive the state's financial health dictates real-world policy.
If the legislature believes we have cleared our debts and have billions in the bank, there is going to be immense pressure to enact sweeping tax cuts or drastically increase spending in other areas like infrastructure and education.
Exactly. If lawmakers think we are $25 billion in the clear, every special interest group, lobbyist, and local municipality in the state is going to be knocking on doors in Lansing asking for a slice of the pie. It will be crucial to watch how the administration balances taking a political victory lap with the sobering reality of managing those ongoing multi-billion dollar pension liabilities in the years to come.
All right, we have got a few more local stories we want to hit real quick before we wrap up today. Let's run through the roundup. First up, Grand Rapids is becoming a testing ground for a new approach to the workforce crisis. Local developers are starting to integrate early childhood learning centers directly into mixed-use workforce housing projects.
It is a brilliant way to tackle two massive shortages at once: affordable housing and accessible childcare. It is incredibly difficult for parents to re-enter the workforce when childcare costs as much as their rent.
This is also tied to Michigan's TriShare program, where childcare costs are split equally three ways, between the employer, the employee, and the state. According to the Grand Rapids Chamber, 82% of participating families in Michigan said TriShare helped them stay in the workforce.
Now, there is a push to scale this model nationally through the proposed TriShare Childcare Pilot Act of 2025. Shifting the burden from just the parents to a collaborative public-private model could be a total game-changer for working families across the country.
Finally, looking a bit north to Mecosta County, the Big Rapids Pioneer is highlighting some fantastic community initiatives in their latest News Nuggets column, focusing on honoring local military personnel and law enforcement.
Yeah, it is easy to focus on national military recognition or big federal holidays, but these localized efforts in Mecosta County really foster a deep personal appreciation for the men and women serving our communities.
The column highlights programs that support everyone from active duty members to retired veterans and those who have fallen in the line of duty. It is a great reminder of the impact grassroots support can have to keep that awareness alive year-round.
And that is going to do it for us today on Grand Rapids Daily. Thanks for starting your morning with us. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. We will be back tomorrow with more news from around West Michigan. Have a great day and hold on to your hats this weekend.